Fox on Nick.
Welcome to Brian Keane Fitness Podcast, where we talk everything fitness, nutrition, and mindset with your host, Brian Keane.
To the Brian Keane Fitness Podcast, we talk everything fitness, nutrition, and mindset to help you with your goals. Today's episode is going to be a Q&A, so I pulled the questions from my Facebook, Instagram, and Snapchat. So if you're not following me on my social media platforms, definitely check me out there. It's where I get the question for the podcast. Brian Keane Fitness on Instagram and Facebook, and BrianK019 on Snapchat. So first question comes from Dickie Crawley. Brian, can you recommend any books or resources for building your own workout routine? Okay, so what I'm going to do for this answer is talk about what I did myself, what I would do differently if I could go back, and then what I recommend is probably the best thing to do. So what I did myself from probably the age of 13 or 14 to definitely 22 or 23, I bought every single fitness magazine there was. This was before social media had blown up, and podcasts and the internet even wasn't even massive at that stage. So I bought every single magazine I could, every Men's Health, every Men's Fitness, every Muscle and Fitness, every Flex magazine I could get my hands on for probably about 10 years. I have a stack of them at home that's probably the height of my head. That actually I need to get rid of now that I think of, but I spent a lot of years getting all of those magazines and resources, and I was building my own workout routines. If I could go back, I probably would have gone to a reputable trainer and got them to design a training program around my specific goals, because you waste a lot of time building your own workout strategies when you don't know if you're doing the right thing. Particularly for me, because I was a GA player and I was playing, you know, at the county underage levels. I was playing at my club. I was playing with school teams, and I lived and breathed GA. That was what I did as a teenager. And I was gym training from 16, 17, 18, 19 on, and I was doing the wrong workouts. I was doing the wrong movements. I was doing the wrong exercises. I was working in the wrong parameters, and I didn't know any difference. It wasn't until my performance started to suffer, and I started to actually get worse and get slower and couldn't react as quick, that I realized something was wrong in my training program. And it's the same regardless of what your goals are. If you're not working on a training program that's in alignment with your specific goals, whether you're a guy or a girl looking to build muscle or lose body fat or improve your performance or whatever that is, if your specific goal and your training program aren't in alignment, you're going to have a disconnect somewhere. What I would have done if I could go back is I'd have gone to a reputable trainer, and I would have learned how to do the movements right, and I would have learned how to build a program around my specific goals. And the best advice I could offer to you now, if you're at the level where you're like, okay, I've got a pretty good understanding of training, and I would start pooling loads of different resources and building your own workout, particularly if you're not too worried about getting from point A to point B as fast as possible or as effectively as possible. If that's the case, where you're like, well, I want to look this way or I want to perform this way, I would probably go on to a program that's in alignment with that, because you'll cut your own learning curve. That's what I would have done if I could go back. But if you're at the stage where you just want to experiment and play around with training because you're loving training, I would start pooling different resources, follow up different people on Snapchat who've got good workouts. You mentioned even in the question underneath, you follow mine, you screenshot my Snapchat. For anyone that's not on my Snapchat, BrianK019, I put most of my workouts up on there. So you can literally screenshot them and you can do them as you go along. And I would do that with the people that are the most in alignment with the way you want to look or the way you want to perform. And I would do the same thing then with people you follow on social media. Again, audit the people you're following, but the two or three people that really speak to you in terms of their content and their workout strategies, follow them, and get yourself workout books. There's loads of different ones. You can check out the workout in my book, The Fitness Mindset. There's loads of different fitness books out there. I'm not great in that area now. It's been a long time since I bought a fitness book, an actual workout book, but you can buy that and you can start picking out your favorite strategies, favorite exercises, play around with the parameters, and then using the internet and Snapchat and social media to actually build your own program and build your own workout routine. And you definitely can do that, and particularly if you're at the stage where you're just enjoying your training and you just want to play around what you're doing and you're not too worried about going from point A to point B as fast and effectively as possible, then by all means just pool different resources and build your own strategy that way. That's what I would do. Okay, next question from Snapchat, a screenshot from Snapchat. Do you find slow reps more effective for building strength? Okay, so this is definitely in reference to the workouts I put up on Snapchat. I have a lot of time under tension style workouts on Snapchat that I do, particularly if I'm following my GA Lean Body Program, because I mix that in with explosive work so that you get the best of both worlds. I work time under tension so I can change the composition of the muscle and keep my physique and change the composition of my actual physique, but I'll do explosive work and strength work so the actual performance can improve. So in terms of actual overall strength, the most number one thing that's most important is working within the right parameters as opposed to the actual tempo and tension range you're working for. If you're working for pure strength, you very rarely want to go over 5 or 6 reps. You want to keep it at 3, 4, 5, 6 reps, and you're going to have long rest periods. So, you know, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 4 minutes, 5 minutes for some people, where you're doing absolute maximum strength lift. And a lot of your strength comes from your central nervous system as opposed to your muscular system, even though you'll have a little bit of crossover on both. So it's very important that you're working within the right parameters for strength. And again, if you're not too worried about muscle and the way it looks, and you don't care about body composition, and you're just working on pure strength, then working within those parameters is going to be key. And there's also an argument for, if it's explosive strength and you're an athlete, you want to play around with those parameters in terms of maybe work with a slow negative and then an explosive positive. So if you're working slow down on a squat and you're exploding up, you're going to find that that works better for power and explosiveness in terms of strength, in the traditional sense of explosive output. But slow reps don't inherently lead to better strength gains. But what you're probably referenced to in terms of my Snapchat and my workouts that you see me doing is I work slow negatives and explosive power on the positive part of the rep, because I'm trying to build explosiveness. And that's taken just some movements out of my GA Lean Body Program. But if you're just focused on pure strength, work within that, you know, 5x5 parameter is a great one, where you do 5 reps and 5 sets with, you know, 2 or 3 minute rest in between. That's a great program for just building raw strength. And then changing up your actual parameters around that, dropping down to 3 reps, 2 reps, 1 rep maxes. That's not the way I train. I'm not ever focused on raw strength. I'm always trying to work for performance or change body composition and work for more muscle or reducing body fat through tearing fibers down. But if it's pure strength you're working on, make sure your reps are low and your rest is high. Okay, next question from Susan Plant. What should I do if one muscle is bigger or stronger than the other? Okay, so Susan, this is really, really common for both genders, for guys and girls. Normally you'll have one leg that's stronger than the other, you'll have one pec that's bigger than the other, you'll have one arm that's bigger or stronger than the other. It's really, really common. I have it myself. My left pec is slightly more developed than my right pec, my right arm slightly bigger than my left arm. It comes down to an imbalance in the muscle. And it's very, very common, particularly people that focus a lot on compound lifts, or if you're very, very dominant. It happens a lot with mothers that are carrying around their children, because you're holding your child normally in one hand predominantly, or you're carrying shopping and you're holding your child in the other hand, and we can build an imbalance. And that's what I found with a lot, and from my experience, it's a lot of my mums that have a really bad imbalance in terms of their trapped shoulders and arms, and then guys tend to have more of an imbalance in things like their pectorals because of not doing dumbbell presses and doing a majority of barbell bench press, where they press up to their strong side, which can overdevelop that muscle on the left or right side and overdevelop the strength because you're pressing more weight through that side. So my advice would be there. It's very, very easy to fix. It just takes a little bit of time, and would be to do some unilateral training in your program. So unilateral means you do one side at a time on the muscle that is imbalanced. So for example, if you have an imbalance in your arms and your left arm is bigger or stronger than your right arm, you won't do barbell curls, you won't do cable curls for a few weeks. You'll do one side at a time. So you'll do a left, you know, a bicep curl with a dumbbell on your right hand, and then do it with your left hand, so that you're doing them unilaterally, you're doing them one side at a time. My advice would be to always do your weaker side first, and not make the mistake, as I fucking did when I was 19 or 20, of going heavier on your weaker side, because you're trying to bring that side up, because what that's going to do, it's going to build a further imbalance, and it means you're just going to make your stronger part, actually your weaker body part, stronger than the other arm, and you'll have that same problem. It's just going to be in the reverse, and that's happened with loads of people. I had someone come through my program probably 3 programs ago who had done that, and we literally built the entire program around unilateral training to try and fix that imbalance. So for example, if your weak arm I would always start your reps, your weaker arm, and then do them off that side and then alternate and do the opposite side. That works for every movement. If it's the same with your legs, you're going to be doing single leg squats. You may do single leg presses on a leg machine. You may do single leg extensions, but always start with your weaker side first. Normally, you're a bit fresher at the start of each set and each rep, so you're going to be able to get a better mind-muscle connection, a better feel in the weaker side, and that can bring up a muscular imbalance over time. The key is to make sure that you're being patient with it and you're building a lot of your programs around dumbbells and using systems that aren't going to load you through your strong side. Things like lunges are brilliant because if you're holding and strengthening both sides, if you're doing a walking lunge as opposed to a squat, where you may press up through your stronger side more often than not. So that would be my advice on how to fix that. The same thing works for whether it's strengthening it or building more muscle. The only thing that'll change is the parameters. You'll work for lower parameters, lower reps, if it's the strength you're trying to build. And if it's the actual muscular side, you're gonna work more hypertrophy, 8 to 10 reps, 60, 90 second rest, 3-4 sets, the usual hypertrophy parameters, if it's actual physical muscular size that you're trying to balance out. Okay, next question from Karen Lawler. Best audiobook for lifestyle and mental health. This one I can cover from a couple of angles, because the truth is there's so many different types of mental health. There's so many different types of books that can support people with lifestyle. It's very much dependent on where you're at with your life at this particular moment in time. The best thing I would ask yourself first is what's causing the mental health issues, because that shows up very, very differently in a lot of different ways. I've spoken about in the chapter of my book in the mindset section about anxiety, worry, stress, because for some people that's their mental health. It's dealing with anxiety, dealing with mental health, dealing with too much worry in their life, not being able to live in the present, constantly worrying about the future or contemplating what they said or did in the past. That for some people is mental health. For other people, it's a neurological imbalance in their brain and they need some form of medication, or Western medicine tends to work very well for some people in that case, when it's a hormonal disruption or they've been through some mental or physical trauma. So mental health shows up very, very differently for each person. There's no one book or one audiobook that I can recommend that I think everybody should listen to that's going to help with their mental health. However, depending on the different strains, there's ones that I would recommend. If it's an anxiety issue and you're somebody that has constantly dealing with anxiety, and I've done a podcast episode on how I've dealt with my anxiety, so definitely check that out if that's where your area is at. Rewire Your Anxious Brain, which is written by a neuroscience on what's happening to your brain when it's on an anxious level. And she speaks that fear is a real thing. When you have a fear, it's actual a physiological response and a cortisol release of something that puts you into immediate danger. And anxiety is the actual focus on something that may happen in the future that could put you into immediate danger, or thought of being in immediate danger, either in a social situation, an actual physical harm situation, or, you know, worried about your boss shouting at you later in the day. That's the difference between fear and anxiety, because they're two different things. And for years I thought they were the same thing. And that book, Rewire Your Anxious Brain, helped me understand that a lot. So if that's where your area is in, that's probably the one I'd recommend. If it's a case that you're a constant worrier, I love the quote that worrying is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it never gets you anywhere. And the book that really helped me with that was Dale Carnegie's How to Stop Worrying and Start Living. It's a pretty short book. I love Dale Carnegie's How to Win Friends and Influence People is probably one of my favorite books of all time. It's just an incredible read. But How to Stop Worrying and Start Living, he talks a lot about how to live in day-tight compartments, that when we think about the future, we're worrying about something that literally hasn't happened yet. And when we think about the past, something that's gone that we cannot change. And the only gift that we really have is living in this very present moment and living in day-tight compartments, that you can't put your worry into something into the future because it hasn't even happened yet. And the way he uses that and the examples he uses, and that book was written in the early 1900s, I think, and it's more applicable today than ever. So if that's where your mental health issues are coming from, I would definitely check that book out. And if you're someone that has a lot of stress in their life and you feel that you are constantly under stress at work or at home or in a relationship or with people around you that aren't supporting you, there's a great book called Why Zebras Don't Get Ulcers. It's very much on the physiological side of cortisol and stress in the body and what happens when we get stressed, and the evolutionary reasons that we're evolved to release cortisol and have stress because it kept us alive thousands of years ago. But now chronic stress constantly, literally, it's the death by a thousand cuts, because you're going to massively reduce your amount of time on this earth if you're constantly stressing because of the physiological and negative physiological response that your body gets into from negative stress, which means you reduce your risk of, or you reduce your ability to sleep well at night. You tend to reach for more glucosey, sugary foods and stimulants to try and pick yourself up, because your body's constantly trying to deal with that cortisol and stress. So that book helped me a lot. Why zebras don't get ulcers. It's a long one. And very much for anyone there that's a personal trainer into the fitness space, it's one of my favorite books. And definitely check out my one, The Fitness Mindset, which is actually a combination of a lot of those three. My anxiety section, the worry section, my stress and cortisol section in my book, The Fitness Mindset. I pooled a lot of my favorite bits from those other books, and I've referenced all three of those books in mine, so that might be a better snapshot as opposed to having to read through the entire thing. And then lifestyle is going to be down to, what does your lifestyle look like? That's where I love biographies by people, because if you have a specific lifestyle you're trying to live, if you're somebody that wants to work, you know, on a laptop in Thailand, or you're someone that wants to be able to play with their kids and spend their time at home and have money running through automation in the background with a business, you can read biographies of people that have done that and live that lifestyle, and you're going to pick up more from them than any self-help book. The funny thing is, with some self-help books, it's written by people that haven't done that lifestyle. They haven't done that thing. Not in all cases, but the things with biographies is you're going to have people that have literally lived the lifestyle that you want to live, and you're going to pick up information from them. I love Sam Walton's book from Walmart. Sam Walton was worth $160 billion when he died, which is $160,000,000,000. And I quoted him in my book that every time you think that your goals are too high or you can't achieve something, I'm like, remember, there is a person on this planet not much smarter than me or you who was worth $160,000,000,000 when they died. And I got a lot from that in terms of, you know, living a humble lifestyle. You know, he died living in the home that he had always lived in, and he was one of the richest men on the planet. So I loved that way of being, and I got a lot from reading his book. But that's going to be very much contextual to you and what you want your life to look like, and then consuming that information that supports that. Okay, next question comes in from Snapchat. Hey Brian, how can I make more friends? Okay, so there's a little bit more context needed for this, because it was an expansion. That's the shortened version of the answer. But basically, he was asking, he also asked not to be named, but he was asking, how can he make more friends and find a better social group? So there's a couple of ways I can answer this question. The truth is, the best way to find friends, in my opinion, is going to be surround yourself with people of similar interests. Because at the end of the day, a lot of friendships are built off people that are very, very similar mindset and very, very similar interests. That can be positive and negative, like the Jim Rohn quote, you are the average of the five people you spend the most time with. I live by that. That can be a very positive or negative thing depending on who your network is. But if you're just looking to find people that love you for you or like you for you, that you can surround and hang around with, go to the places where those people are. You know, I love the quote that if you want to be, you know, a millionaire, go to where millionaires are. If you want to be fit, go to where fitness people are. You know, if you want to find a good boyfriend or a good girlfriend, go to where those people are. You know, like, and the analogy I always use, I'm like, well, if you're in a club every Saturday night, plastered off your face, you're probably not going to meet your future, you know, soulmate in there. You might, and there's a percentage of people that do, and I'm sure they do, and they're very happy, but you reduce the probability that that's where you're going to meet that person. The same way as if you're trying to get into amazing shape, spending all your time in McDonald's or Supermax or a fast food chain probably isn't the best place to be. So if it's a case that you know what your interests are, and it doesn't matter what that is, whether that's fitness, whether that's, you know, Game of Thrones, whether that's Harry Potter, whether that's reading, whether that's business, whatever it is, decide what it is that you love to do and what you'd spend your Friday and Saturday nights speaking about, and you spend your time, you know, watching Netflix or Googling, and then go to where those people are, because they're the people with similar interests, and you're going to find an automatic bond. I know that I've been very fortunate with the people that I hang around with and I surround myself with now are very people that are striving to better themselves and are very much we get one life, let's fucking go for this. And that tends to filter down into your thought process. And that's, I'm only using myself because you're your own best example, but that works in every single context. So it's a case of just surrounding yourself with those people, and you're going to build up friendships by having mutual interests. A lot of the people that I've built friendships with over the last few years have been big into business. They've been big into social media, trying to help and serve more people. They've been big in the GEA space because that's where my first love was, you know, and that's where you build up camaraderie and you build up relationships and friendships with people. There's also a great book, and I mentioned it earlier, Dale Carnegie's How to Win Friends and Influence People. That book is just one of the all-time greats, and it's not as persuasive or as manipulative as the title sounds. It's very much talking about just how to be a better person and how you can serve more people and how you can be a better friend and how you can help other people achieve what they want to achieve, whatever that looks like for you, and champion their life, whether that's to do a fitness show or whether that's to be, you know, a better mother or father, or whether that's to start their own business, or whether that's to, you know, rise up the ladder in their job. It doesn't matter what that looks like, but Dale Carnegie talks about how you can be there to champion people's lives, and as a result the reciprocity law will come back and they'll champion your life. So that's one I would definitely recommend reading. But my top advice for somebody looking for more friends is going to be go to where people with similar interests are. And as I said, if you're looking for fitness people, go to where fitness people are. You're looking for Game of Thrones addicts, go to where Game of Thrones addicts are. You know, we're in a day and age that we're so fortunate through having the internet and social media, which I'm aware can be a double-edged sword because it gives as many problems as it has in terms of the benefits that it provides. But in terms of reaching out and finding networks and niches of people, like if you're somebody that loves fucking petal flowers on a daffodil, you can find a group of people on the internet who are like, I fucking love petal daffodils on a fucking flower. You know, it's the only time and age where you can literally find a niche of people who love the things that you love. And there was once upon a time you were limited to your group and community, so you had to either mold to what the community liked, or else you went out and searched and left the country and left the village and left the town to go in search of people that had similar interests to you. We don't have that problem now. We have social media groups, and a lot of people, I know a lot of people on Instagram that I've connected with are people that I followed for years, and you literally be messaging through DM and back and forth, and then you meet for coffee, next thing you know, you built a friendship. I have a friendship with Pat Dively, for those who listen to Pat Dively. A lot of that came from a social media following. He followed my Instagram, I was following his Facebook, and then we met for coffee and built up a friendship over the last 2 or 3 years. And it's a case that happens with a lot of people because it was similar interests. He was into fitness, he was into business, he was into mindset, and it was something that we were able to overlap and build a friendship with. And that works in the context for everybody. And it's just a case of finding those people that have similar interests, and you're gonna make a lot of friendship and friends that way, in my opinion. Okay, massive thank you to everyone for sending in the questions. Hope you guys got loads of value from this episode. For more information on me or more information on my Top 50 program or my GEA Lean Body program, head over to the website, www.briankeenfitness.com. My Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube's all Brian Keen Fitness, and my Snapchat, BrianK019, definitely follow me on there. I put everything, my whole life is on Snapchat at the minute. So a massive thank you to everyone for downloading and listening. Thank you to Cullum over at Voxonic, who puts together all my podcast episodes. Catch you guys soon.